Welcome to Le Rendez-vous. My name is Garance Doré and I'm a writer with so many stories to tell and ideas to share that I created this special moment to talk about all the things that are going on in our lives. So come, let's spend a moment together. Le Rendez-vous is brought to you by Doré, the skincare line I co-created, wanting to bring more simplicity and efficacy to our lives. Check out the end of the episode for a special code just for you, the Rendez-vous listeners. So I just took a nap, and here I am, calm and rested and ready to talk to you about sleep. I've been meaning to talk to you about sleep since I started my podcast, because I think that being rested, calm, and sleeping well is actually one of the most important secrets to life. It took me a long time to understand that. I didn't take sleeping very seriously, as I think most of us do when we're young. The problem is that I ignored my sleeping issues until it really brought me to my knees. And this is the story I want to tell you today, and also, in some ways, how I fixed it. I always was somebody that wakes up early. It's quite a blessing, actually. I would go to bed, fall asleep super easily, and sleep all the way until right before my alarm would go off in the morning before I had to go to school. I loved it, and very soon I fell in love with the moments of solitude that waking up early brought me in the morning. It became funny when in my late teens and in my 20s, I started, you know, living with friends and going on vacation with a bunch of people. I remember vacations, going to ski in France and sharing an apartment with so many of my friends and all of these kind of things where you don't have your own bedroom, people are everywhere. And I remember waking up in the middle of this mess after a party and being the only one up for about 3 to 4 to 5 hours. It didn't matter how late I would go to bed. It didn't matter how much I've been drinking or how exhausted I was. I would always wake up around 7, 8 would be sleeping in, and 6 was a good day. Mostly, I loved it. There were quite a few moments of solitude. I remember a few times waking up in the middle of dark apartments we had rented with friends where everybody was sleeping and I wouldn't want to make any noise not to wake them up. And at that time, there was no phones. I couldn't switch on the light and just sitting in the dark or leaving the place very quietly and going to walk early morning in the streets of Paris or Aix-en-Provence or wherever I was living at that time, having a coffee and talking to the waiter that was just opening the cafe. I got used to it. It was just who I was, and it was also part of my personality. It's where I started enjoying a little bit of solitude. It became even more concrete when I moved in with my best friend when I was about 17. The first apartment we shared was a tiny studio. We were sharing a bedroom. We had no money, so that's all we had. And funny enough, she still is, to this day, a very, very late sleeper. So she'll go to bed at 2 in the morning. I mean, probably earlier now that she's a mom, but still, I'm sure, never goes to bed before midnight and would only wake up at about 12 midday. And it was very interesting because she wouldn't wake up even if I made noise. We had this very good kind of physical condition when we were in our 20s. And it was funny because it meant that we were sharing an apartment, a tiny apartment. Then we moved up to like a bigger one where we had one door to close at least, which wasn't the case in our first one. But it was interesting because of our sleeping schedules, it's almost like we had the apartment to ourselves at least a few hours during the day. And in that sense, I never really got bored of her.
Or her of me.
Because I knew I had my solitude, I had the whole morning to myself, and she had her nights. I kept my habit going like that. And I was young, so even if I was going out late, because I was a student and there were a lot of late nights, I never really felt exhaustion. I don't even think that at that age I knew what it was. And it's funny when I look back, because some of the habits that sort of broke me down by my late 30s are actually habits that I started forming at that time. Whether it was growing slowly, an addiction to sugar, caffeine, tea, all these stimulants that I always have loved. It is in my 30s that my sleep started becoming a problem. My 30s were a moment of excitement, and I started traveling a lot, constantly. I moved from Marseille to Paris to New York, and it was constant. I remember one year that I didn't spend more than 10 consecutive days in my apartment in New York. I was always on the road. And as you know, I have a sister, and she's very close to me in age. So we often compare our lives the way we are. And I remember her asking me, "How do you do it? Are you not exhausted? Isn't this lifestyle draining you? I don't understand. Do you feel jet lag?" she asked me once. And I told her, "No, I don't suffer from it much. I just pretend that it doesn't exist." And I told her these things with the sort of pride that you have at that age, where you can do everything, where your body won't even react, right? You just put it through everything you want, different time zones, different beds every night, flights, all the things, you know, being on your feet for hours in a day, being on computers for all night while you're doing your late work, all of these things, and you'll still wake up and be fresh and be in a good mood and just be able to get on with your day. I still had my waking up early thing, but again, I thought, this is just who I am, just the way I have dark hair and somebody wakes up really early. Things started changing after a few years. I think it's by 37, 38 that I started realizing that things weren't as easy. My life in New York had started being really stressful, and I think that there was a mix of probably aging, my hormones. It came really slowly, the trouble. And if I want to look back and kind of track it back, I would say, as I said, early morning insomnia, which is something that is very well known and is usually linked to cortisol. So basically, your body is in a state of nervousness and stress, and probably also pushed by the stimulants that you had the day before, whether it's coffee, sugar, tea, chocolate, all these kind of things that push your body and stay in your body longer than we think they do, even if we think they don't have an effect on us. So I had kind of collected all these things, right? My natural propensity to wake up early, the ways I had found to keep my energy up. I also told you about my ways to soothe myself with sugar, which is also obviously a big stimulant. And these things were adding up slowly, and my sleep was being impacted by it, but I didn't really register it. I still felt like, okay, this is me. I wake up at 6, I wake up at 5:30, and slowly the clock started receding, right? And I wasn't changing my lifestyle. I was still traveling like crazy, working like crazy. I wasn't really caring for myself at all. Then I put myself in a relationship that I think brought in so much stress in my life that it was almost like an explosion that I contained inside of myself. It was the type of stress, because we weren't made to be together, that pushes on you without you realizing what's going on. it's like a sort of, you know, when you have a noise in the background and you try to ignore it, but it's actually stressing you out. And the more you try to ignore it, and the more stress comes out. It was a little bit like that relationship. And then because I had developed this habit of denial, of not looking into myself, of living my life in my head and not in my body, instead of telling myself, wow, you feel really nervous, really tense, you're having panic attacks. Instead of listening to my body, I just shut it down because I really wanted that relationship to work and I wanted to build and to grow and I wanted a baby and I wanted all of these things as my 40s was literally around the corner. That's when I started doing a few treatments for fertility, adding slowly to the pile of things that were eating up at my sleep. Again, stress, stimulus, cortisol shot, and on top of that, I had one crazy treatment that was based on steroids, which really made me crazy. And little by little, my sleep window was getting narrower and narrower. Waking up at 5 was becoming a habit. Having very light sleep where you wake up a few times a night and you go to the toilet or you're just distracted, you think of something, all these things that now I look back prove to me that I wasn't really sleeping. I was basically just dozing off and in a state of a half sleep. And slowly feeling that all my life was basculating without really understanding where it came from. Still at that moment, I thought, well, I don't sleep so well anymore, but it's still on my pattern. This is still what I do. I just wake up a little bit earlier now. I think I really was in denial that my life was not working for me anymore. But I could see around me everybody getting on and building and growing, and I thought, this is what I need to do. Once I've succeeded, once I've achieved everything, once I have my relationship fixed and my baby and my house, and when I've done all that, everything will be fixed. By then, I had gained quite a bit of weight, and I was just in a place where I didn't love my life, but I wasn't aware of it because it was me who had wanted it. It was me who had built it. And I couldn't allow myself to think, well, all the things you wanted were not things that were good for you. So I kept going. I kept smiling. I kept telling myself that I just had to just push through and that things would work out and that happiness was just around the corner. Just if I could do a little bit more, sustain that relationship, carry it with all my strength, everything would be better. And I kept waking up earlier and earlier and earlier. I went from 5:30 to 5, to 4:30 to 4. And sometimes I'd even wake up at 3, 2:30. It's just slowly, I just had allowed that into my life. I was now an insomniac that wouldn't say its name. Nobody would see me not sleeping, so nobody really understands what you're going through. And if you're in complete denial, you'll start inhabiting the night, like a lot of insomniacs do. I wasn't the type of person to freak out and put myself back to bed. And I've never been someone who takes medicine to sleep. I don't know what to take. I don't want to do that. It scares me. Told you many times that I'm a little bit careful when it comes to taking medicine. And I also don't think that at that time I thought I had much of a problem. Because what was slowly happening as I was obviously slipping into a depression was that the denial that I was applying to my life, to my sleep schedule, to everything, all of that had taken me into this magic world where basically I thought, oh, I can do without sleep. I can keep going. I can keep pushing. A lot of people don't need sleep. I'm fine. I would just wake up and clean the house and have my coffee and let people who are there sleep. And I just had my habit and I was normal. Until one day it was, I think, 3:30. And this had gone on for months and months and months. No more sleep. And one day I told myself, I'm not doing well. And that's when I went to see a psychiatrist. The first thing my psychiatrist asked me about was my sleep. It didn't make sense to me in the beginning. I was like, yeah, I wake up quite early. But I've always been like that. And he said, so how many hours a night do you actually sleep? And I said, well, 5 hours. 5 hours is good, I told him. It's pretty good for me. And he looked at me and he said, you can't survive on 5 hours. You can't keep going. You have pretty drastic insomnia. And I know you don't look at it like that. But before trying to fix anything else in your life, what we're going to do is to fix your sleep. When I think back now, I realize I hadn't had one of these satisfying nights. We all had a satisfying night in our lives. You know, those kind of nights where you sleep so deeply and you wake up and the sun is out and the birds are singing and you feel so full and rested and you're in such a great mood and you just want to seize the day. These kind of nights hadn't happened to me for decades. I remembered them, but I never had them. No, what I had instead was I was waking up in a worry. It was the opposite of when you wake up and you know when you've slept so well that it will take you at least half an hour to get out of your dreams and of your sleepy state. I never had that. I would wake up with my thoughts already racing in the morning. It's almost like my brain had woken up before my body. I was so worried in the morning, so tense when I would wake up, that I would need to basically prime myself and tell myself everything is good, everything is fine, you're going to be okay, and reassure myself. And I had this whole routine, basically. And this is a very kind of clinical, easy sign of early morning insomnia. And that's what happens. This cortisol basically wakes up your brain. And it's this nervous energy wants to come out. And you wake up in a shock, basically, every morning. It's terrible. It's the worst. If you have that, please listen to me and you have to take care of it, okay? All right. So I hadn't had a reparative sleep for years, years and years and years. And if I always was somebody who napped, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about napping when I tell you about the solutions that I slowly found. It was never enough to make up for how much sleep I was missing during the night. I don't think anything can make up for hours of sleep being missed. So my psychiatrist put me on an antidepressant that is an SSRI, and that's supposed to be very calming and that help with your sleep. To be honest, my sleep didn't get fixed in one go. He agreed with me that the solution was not to take sleeping pills, but it was to try to go at it naturally and to start looking at my lifestyle and the things that I was doing that were possibly disrupting my sleep. So slowly I went about trying to fix it. I stopped caffeine after 11. I used to have a lot of tea. I created a bedroom that was very dark so that I wouldn't be woken up by any lights, because when I had such a light sleep, and I still am a light sleeper, but now I take care of it with earplugs and masks and created a good sleeping environment. When I was in New York, I was living right in the city and the noise was crazy. And I had taken the habit of putting on earplugs, but New York was interesting because it was really like our apartment was one of these beautiful lofts in the center of the city. This city is so alive. It just never stopped. There is noise all night where we were. And we probably were over a subway line. And so our building would basically shake at regular intervals. It was just this incredible energy in New York that's constant. The lights are always on. You really have to have very good blinders for light not to penetrate your bedroom. Okay, so those are the things that I try to get under control. Caffeine, environment. I started using tools that I hadn't used before. I wasn't using a sleeping mask yet because I had created a very, very dark bedroom. But I started using earplugs. It took me so long to get used to earplugs, but now I couldn't sleep without them. And they're a lifesaver when you're traveling, when you're in a place that's not extremely quiet. They really gave my sleep such a different quality. I think that slowly, probably the medicine that I was taking had a little bit of an effect. But honestly, the truth is that I didn't find my sleep until I moved out of my life. And this might be the craziest, most esoteric thing that I could say, because I want to say, honestly, the very down-to-earth, grounded, normal person that I am wants to tell you, oh, you can fix your sleep with these hacks, you know, wear earplugs, have a dark room. But truly, I think if your life doesn't work for you, I mean, in my case, quitting my life is basically what it took. I found a much better quality of sleep after I broke up with the person I was with. When he left, my nervous system calmed down. And I think it's something we have to talk about. There are some people, just are not good for us, who just don't feel safe. And having him in my life, as much as I adored him as a person, and tried to make this work, and I had felt since the beginning that he was putting me in a state of emergency, in a state of feeling unsafe, feeling unprotected. And I had lost my sleep over it. I just didn't want to admit it to myself. So when he left my home after we broke up, my sleep started getting better. And after the moment when I realized I was going through a depression, which is the exact moment when I started healing, because I think the moment when you're able to put the words on the problems, so tell yourself, I have insomnia and I have a depression, are the moments when you start being able to heal, right? You kind of step outside of your gray bubble where you don't understand anything that's going on. And you're like, oh, this is what's going on. I've been asked a few times to talk about my depression, and I'll do it very soon. It's such a profound subject. And the depression part is, if you will, the emotional and psychological side of all of what I'm telling you right now. This is the physical side. And so the healing kind of took place in increments. What I know is that from that moment on, I started prioritizing sleep and mental health over anything else. The thing that I learned is that they're so related that it's almost a joke. I think that most people who are having tough times could fix a lot of it just by being rested. Sometimes I think I'm going crazy, and it's just that I'm tired. And now I'm much more aware of that, even if it happens to me that I forget sometimes. But my baseline is always, okay, sleep, mental health. How am I feeling? Am I feeling grounded? Am I feeling good? So it got better in increments until, and that again, I'm sorry, this is so weird. And I don't know what it means. But then after a year of being single, I met my now husband. And when I met him, I started sleeping again. I had long nights. I would wake up in that state of bliss, in that state of like, oh, where am I? What is happening? And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the hormones. I didn't touch too much on hormones here and on all the medical stuff because it's just so much. But obviously, all of this is linked. And I don't know if it's that our chemical personalities like work together, or if it's just that he's somebody that felt safe, or it's just that, I don't know. I don't know what it is. And I remember, and he's very proud of it, telling him, I can finally sleep when I'm with you. So that is the end of my beautiful story with sleep. As I started finding my sleep again, my mental health slowly came back to baseline when I felt good and stable, and I tapered off of the antidepressants and my sleep was there. But the thing is that now I don't take it for granted. And here are a few things that I do to make sure that I sleep okay. Number one is I always have my sleeping kit with me, which is a mask, which if you're having trouble sleeping with an eye mask, just persevere. It took me a few months to actually really like sleeping with a mask. And now I love it. I love the feeling of having something on my eyes, which is what I really didn't like in the beginning. And it's a lifesaver because it's very rare to have bedrooms that are really dark enough. I use earplugs, as I told you before, and I make sure to shut down the heater in the night. I don't care if it gets really cold. I'd rather cover myself than sleep in a very hot room. I don't sleep well when that happens. I take magnesium in the evening. That's really fantastic to relax. That really helps with my sleep. I don't drink caffeine, except exceptions, after 11 a.m. usually, even though I still drink too much of it in the morning, I have to confess. And I still have a few terrible habits. For example, I do like to read on my iPad often because I like reading in the dark. When sometimes things get truly stressful, like for example, right before my wedding, I was feeling like my sleep wasn't coping really well with all that weird stress that you get before a wedding. A friend of mine had left one of these pod e-cigarettes that is perfect for sleep, and I would use it, even though it's not my favorite thing to do, when I would feel like, oh shit, I'm waking up at 4 a.m. again, I would be able to just take a drag and boom, fall back to sleep. It's not legal in England, I'm just saying, but it is legal in California, so that's how I got it, basically. But that really helps, and it's immediate, so I don't have to take it before I go to bed. I just know that if I have a moment when I wake up during the night, I'll do that. And that's basically it. And I think the most important part of it is that I'm conscious, and that when I start losing my sleep, I know that it's something my body is telling me. Whether it's a life situation that's not going well, whether I'm in a stressful moment, or maybe I've made a choice in my life that actually doesn't work with who I truly am and I'm in denial, it always comes in my sleep, meaning my sleep shows me. I'll wake up early, I'll have this kind of light insomnia, not the deep one. I rarely have that anymore. But I've learned to listen and to try to understand what's going on and not to just mask it. And I try to identify where the stress that's causing me not to sleep well comes from. Lastly, I now try to go to bed by 10:30, and I try to stick to that all the time. 11 would be the latest, basically. But the ideal scenario is that I am in bed at 10. Usually it means more, okay, I'm brushing my teeth at 10 and I'm starting to shut down. But that's a non-negotiable. I'm trying to be really strong with that. because naturally I still wake up around 6:30, and that's fine because it is a type of people. There are people that just wake up early. I'll never be someone that wakes up at 11 naturally. And for that reason, it's important to kind of count your hours and just decide, okay, well, I can wake up at 5 if I want, but I'll have to go back to bed at 8 or 9, right? Because I think basically we need 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So that's also something that I try to stay really on top of. And I'm this boring person that, yeah, I just go to bed. I mean, look, if I go out and we're having a party and we're having fun, it's one thing. But if I'm at home or even if we're planning dinners, I try to keep my very American, like, oh, let's meet for dinner at 6:30. I think it's super healthy and I actually really love it, which is quite funny because if one day I move to Spain, I just don't understand. You can't even go to a restaurant before 7, some before 8, and you end up having dinner until 11. And I don't know how I'll get used to that, but it's a totally different question, isn't it? And finally, one of the most important things that I do that I'm keeping last, because I know many of you won't ever be able to do that. If you work in an office or have a job when you need to be out all day, unlike me, the thing I do that is incredibly important for me is that I take naps. I've always done naps, even when I was a tutor in high schools, when I was young and working as I was a student. I had found a classroom that I knew was going to be empty at that time. And I had, I think, 45 minutes for my lunch break. And I would take 15 minutes to have my lunch and half an hour to go and fall asleep. I would literally sleep with my head on the table. I would find ways to just close my eyes and let go for a minute. And to this day, I still do that. Of course, there are some days where you just can't, and that's fine. If I need, I can replace my nap with a short meditation. But the thing is that I need something in the middle of the day to replenish me. I am someone that gets very tense and stressed and wound up. And having this kind of midday moment where I can go back to baseline, to calmness, to quiet, is deeply relaxing for me. And it really helps me in all the aspects of my life. So it's a short nap, 20 minutes. I close my eyes. My body has been used to it since forever. Sometimes I won't even fall asleep, but I just doze and kind of let myself relax. I breathe. And sometimes if I'm really tired, it would be a deep sleep, not more than half an hour. Usually my body knows when to wake up. I don't have to put an alarm, but if I know I have something important to do, I'll put an alarm on. And to me, it's more than deeply resting. It's really something that resets my day. And I've realized, and it's funny because if you read stories and articles about sleep, sometimes some people don't recommend to have naps because they said that it might prevent you from falling asleep in the evening. But to me, it's the actual opposite. Because my naps, whether they're 5 minutes or half an hour, help me to calm down, I'll have better sleep in the evening. If I let myself get wound up all day, I can see that I want to go to bed later. So that's all I know about sleeping. There are entire books and entire curriculums and just so much about it that is so important to learn about. But I wanted to share that because I think, okay, apart from the things that you probably already know, protecting yourself from sound and having regular sleeping schedule and all these things, I think the message to me was how important it was as a message from my body to my consciousness, to my intellect, to tell me the life you've created is just not working for your nervous system and you need to fix it. I don't know what would have happened if I had persevered in that relationship and in that lifestyle that wasn't working for me. Like, what happens if you deprive yourself from quietness, from rest and for peace for decades? It must be quite crazy. And I know a lot of people endure these kind of things for years and years. And in many ways, I thank myself today for having had the courage to break down all these things. It wasn't easy. but it was definitely worth it. And I want to thank my body for acting out and telling me that truly my soul was unhappy. I hope this episode helped you, and I hope that you sleep well tonight. I'll talk to you next week, and sending you love.
Le Rendez-vous is brought to you by Doré. Doré's latest launch, La Micellaire, is a botanical micellar cleansing water that doesn't require rinsing. Minimize bathroom time and maximize outdoor time with our super simple routine. Use code PODCAST10 for 10% off your first order. Thank you for listening to Le Rendez-vous. If you want to know more about me, find out about my newsletter and my community, find me on Instagram at Garance Doré or at my website at garance.world. And well, if you'd like to find out how to spell that crazy name, just check out the show notes. Until next time, sending you love.